We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Isn't that awesome? Be able to sit there and sing His praise. Be able to sit there and sing to the one who made it all possible for each and every one of us. We know that. We know these songs. We know this, and we can take it personal because it is personal. We sought the Lord, and He heard us. There's nowhere you can ever find yourself that you cannot seek the Lord. He'll always hear you, period. Even though you may not feel it or think it, it's not about our feelings. It is about the ever-presence of the God of this universe. If you've got your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me over to the book of Joshua. We're reading Joshua this week. We just finished the book of Deuteronomy. We're reading the Old Testament this year. I don't know if we're going to finish it this year. Weeks are falling and books are big. Sometimes we have to use 2 weeks for a book. Sometimes we can do it in a week, but we're reading the book of Joshua this week. We've made it all the way through the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know the entire history of how God chose the children of Israel and made them His very own. Guys, I want to do something, and I meant to do it last night. I was watching. Let's pray for Israel right now. Let's just pray. Y'all ready? Let's pray. Father God, we come before You in the name of Jesus. God, Your people right now. God, Your chosen people, the land of Israel, that is Your promised land that we've studied, that we read about. God, we pray in Christ's name that You would put a hedge around them. God, we don't know what's going on even as we speak. But God, that is Your people. Protect Israel, God. Protect and bless and minister to, and God, bring allies around. God, You say You'll bless those that bless them and You'll curse those that curse them. And God, we pray Your riches over them for Your glory, for Your great namesake. In Christ's name, amen. We know God made Israel His very own. He called Abram out of all the people. Of all the peoples on the face of the earth, God picked that little group of people, that area, that bit of land. Over all the land that is on the world, God chose Israel and made it His very own. We've read about how they were sent into captivity for some 400 years under bondage there in Egypt, under the king Pharaoh, and he treated them harshly, and God heard their cries, He heard their prayers, and God let them go. He used the man Moses. Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage and into the promised land, or at least in that direction. Remember, Deuteronomy talks about just goes back and remembers. And when you get to the book of Joshua, it sort of starts the next step of the journey, because here's what happened. Remember the children of Israel? God says, hey, you're going to take this land. I promised you this land. This was going to be yours. And remember, Moses got the 12 tribes and said, look, send in a guy. I need these 12 spies that are going to go check out the land and see what it's like. And we know two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report, but the other 10 scared the people. Remember, he worked them up into a frizzy, and they were all upset saying that we can't. But the problem was God had done promised them that they can. God had done promised them that it was already theirs. They were just to go in and to take it. And they wandered around the wilderness some 40 years, technically some 38 or so years, because it was about a year later that God said, I want you to get up and start moving. What's so amazing about that whole story, when you read the first of the book of Deuteronomy, it says that it's about an 11-day journey. Okay, think about that for just a second. What took them 38 years, 38 and a half or so years to get, 11 days. This morning, we're sitting here in Joshua. We're about to go further, but I want us to stop and think just for a second. How long have you been a Christian? I was saved at 9. I'm 47 before you now. I've been saved now about 38 years. And I've literally walked with the Lord now some 38 years. But the question is, how far on my journey have I come? Question is, how far on your journey have you come? See, there's a lot of people, honestly, inside of churches that will come, and if you're not careful, if you don't stop ever so often and examine and really evaluate your walk, then here's the deal. It's easy to just wander in circles, kind of like these guys did. The promise had been made. The destination was literally there, but because of disobedience, they wandered aimlessly for 38 years. Yeah, I said this morning, and I'll say it again, I do not think that there's anybody that wakes up and ever says, you know what, I'm just going to waste this day. Okay, I give it to you. If it's raining outside and it's like a Saturday or it's an off day, school's out or something, and it's just rainy and nasty, you say, well, you know what, I'm just gonna kill this one. And that's okay. You know, you sit in, you got your sleeps on, and you're sitting there watching reruns, just binging something on Netflix or something. Ever had one of those days? We all have. But you know what? Occasionally we'll do it 2 days straight, right? Occasionally. You're like, I'm just feeling it. And usually if we have a surgery or you get sick or you're down, then you may go 3 or 4 days. If you have a big surgery and you're flat on your back in a hospital, you could go on for a week or so. Many of you may have felt that. Remember back COVID? Some of you may have experienced a lot longer. But I don't think there was ever been a person that said, you know what, I'm just going to really waste not just a day or two or a week or two or a month or two. I'm just going to start wasting years. You ever known somebody like that? That you know, I'm only given so many. Here's the deal. It's appointed unto man once to die. And we're all going to die, every single one of us. I can remember back many years ago, I'd stand before people as a, 27-year-old preacher saying, you know what, I'm probably somewhere in the Samuels. If this is my life, I'm probably somewhere in the Samuels. And maybe, 37-year-old preacher, I probably said, you know, I may be Job or Psalms or something like that. And for some of us, you know, I'm assuming this is about me now. With this much life left to go, but here's the deal. Nobody knows. We could be sitting in here right now and some of us literally be over in Revelation and not having a clue. There could be some of us, I said it earlier and I'll say it again, I think there could be some of us like almost bumping the maps and we just don't know it yet. Ain't much time left. And nobody woke up today and said, you know what, I'm going to continue to waste my life. Children of Israel wandered around the wilderness 11 days from the finish line. Brother Shannon, where you get that? Go there. Go with me real quick. I want to show you. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at it. We just read it last week or so. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 1, these are the words which Moses spoke to all of Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness in the Arabah opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hezbah and Dizmah. Y'all wouldn't have done any better. Look at verse 2. That's what I wanted you to read anyway. It is an 11-day journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. It's only an 11-day journey from where they started to where they were supposed to get. Here they are. They're ready to cross over. They're ready to go in. You're talking 11 days. And it took them 38 plus years because of disobedience. And the danger that can happen inside of the local church and inside of your home and inside of you as an individual is that you can sit there and waste. I'm not talking about just killing it, binging a good Netflix. I'm talking about week after week, year after year, and before long, a whole bunch of years have gone by, and what have you done for the kingdom? good intentions. When we're saved, when we come into the body of Christ, when He brings us from death to life and He stamps us justified and He makes us His very own, we begin the process of sanctification. That's when He starts rooting out the old ways. You know, early on, remember when you first got saved, how that old self, and ever so often that old self would kind of slip back in, and you would repent and you'd say, "Lord, I'm sorry, that's not who I am." And conviction would come over you and you're like, "Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to act like that, think like that, be like that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be around that group. God, that's not who I am." And remember, you'd repent and you would come back. That's what God does. He uses His Spirit and we can, with conviction, and he cleans out the junk and He replaces with things. He takes that old group and replaces it with a new group. He takes those old desires and He replaces them with new desires. But if we're not careful, church, we can do exactly what these guys did. You've made it through all these stories. You've done all this and they still haven't gotten what would have only taken 11 days to get there. I'm 47. I guess I got the rest. I guess I got 40 years. But I may only have a couple. I'm assuming I have a couple when I may only have a day or so. And nobody knows. So if you know it's not infinite, it is finite. Bible says we're but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. Then there's that much more emphasis and necessity, and there's an urgency to not be wasting it, not to just be sitting around in pajamas all day, or not just going through the motions. We're not waking up, "I'm going to kill another one." No, God gave me this one. And I'm going to do something with it for Him. I'm going to glorify Him with it. I'm going to live for Him with it, because I don't know how many more I got. And neither do you. We don't know how many more we've got. Look at Joshua. Notice this, and here's the thing. We can learn a lot from this guy. We can learn a lot from this book. We can learn a lot from what we just read in the last several about all the wanderings and how they disobeyed and God punished them and they brought them back. We don't have to do that all the time. We can choose different. In Joshua chapter 1, starting verse 1, then, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all of Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness." No, that's Deuteronomy. Get me out of that one. I done blew that one miserably earlier. Joshua, back to verse 1. "Now it came about after the death of Moses." It's very important, church. It's very important for you individually. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying," look at what he says. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Let's figure out what's happening here. You got to think for all these years, for 38, 40 years, give it 40, for 40 years, Joshua's been running second chair. Second chair. He's been under the shadow of Moses. He's been running kind of on the coattails of Moses, and it's been Moses leading. And this is not a young guy. You got 40 years, but they were sent in to spy out the camp 40 years ago. So they probably didn't pick a kid or a baby boy, Joshua. They said, "Go find some leaders of all the tribes." And Joshua was a leader of one of the tribes. I don't know, 30, 40 years old, 20, 30, 40 years old. So you could be talking about an 80-year-old man. And here's the deal. You could be talking about an 80-year-old man that's been running in the shadows of somebody else. Not having to call the shots, not having to make the decisions, but constantly deferring to others. But you know what? Look at what God says to him. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's gone. He's gone. It's your time now. You can't. There's no more cover. There's nowhere else to hide. It's like you can't turn. Well, go get Moses to do it. No, he's gone. And look at what he says to him. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving you, to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I've been with Moses. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. For all those years, Joshua had been sort of running second chair, sort of been in the shadows, and now it's his turn to step out and to be used by God. You got two different characters here. You can look at the character study of Joshua and the character study of Moses. Moses, when God came to him and said, hey, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him to let my people go. What did Moses do? He had excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. I can't talk. Who am I? What are they going to say that I am? They're not going to believe me. Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Joshua had just got the command. Moses is dead. Stand up, arise, tag, you're it. It's your turn now. And notice what he does. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Joshua hadn't commanded nobody ever. Joshua had deferred to Moses' leadership. He had been obedient to the commands of the Lord through the prophet, through the spokesman Moses the whole time. And now all of a sudden, it was his time to step up and to be used by God in a mighty, mighty way. Here's my question. How many people sat in churches like this, maybe literally sitting in a church right now, how many of you may be saying, you know what, that's me. I'm just, somebody else is going to do it. It's like, hey, next in line. And you know, a lot of people, instead of mastering this, they master this. They're like, here, you can come on up. Here, you can come on up. Here, you can come on up. Year after year after year. Let me ask you a question. When were you saved? Do the math. How long you been a Christian? That's your answer. Eleven days and 38 years. That's heartbreaking. How much wasted time? How many times they get close and then God just sent them right back and they just wandered. We know why, because of disobedience, but they just wandered. Listen, are you wandering? And look, here's the beauty. You can be a very successful employer and be wandering. You can be a very successful student. You can be a very successful mama or daddy. I don't care what you are. You can have all the degrees and you can have so many people that answer to you. And you can be hiding in the kingdom. You can be letting somebody else, hey, look, I need somebody. Notice this. Your job, you command many. Hey, I need you to speak. I need you to teach. I need you to share. I need you to talk. I need you to sing. I need you to serve. I need you to love. I need you to surrender. I need you to do something. Oh, I can't do that. Hey, you come on up. No, you come on up. We wouldn't let nobody else step up in our secular world. We don't let people step above us in the secular world, do we? No. What do? Be careful. We put on some big fronts to go up, don't we? We do a lot of foolish stuff to climb a ladder at the end of the day for what? Another dollar? Have you ever noticed when you get to that rung, there's already somebody over you? When you get to that next step, you're like, wow, when I get there, the sky's going to shine. No, when you get there, you're just staring up somebody else. It's like, whoa, there, I didn't know you was there. They're like, come on in. I needed a new one of you. God's world success versus kingdom success is two different things. The world will attaboy you and keep you chasing after useless things, and they'll reward you and reward you, and they will do a lot of stuff. And you'd be doing absolutely nothing for the kingdom. Absolutely nothing for the kingdom. Remember that question, how long have you been a Christian? You got a number in your head? What do you do for the kingdom? I'm not talking about, well, Brother Shannon, I can go home and show you where I was Employee of the Year. I've won this accolade, and my people have given me raise after raise, and I got straight A's. That's good. Great. But kingdom work. See how easy it is? Nobody else is asking you that. The world don't ask you, hey, what are you doing for the kingdom? That's why it's easy to drift. That's why it's easy to wander around. It's like a ping pong. It's easy to just get bounced over here and over here and boom and over here and whoa, I may make it. No, I didn't. No. It's just all over the place and just boom and you look busy. We pat ourselves on the back. Oh. And the devil sits back and says, yes. Busy about things that don't matter eternally. We only got a vapor to do it. We only got a little bit of time to do it. It's kind of like, I mean, there's a thought here. There's a way. There's a whole other sermon that I could stop, and there's a whole different rabbit I could be chasing. Moses died, and the plan keeps moving. There's a lot of folks that think that, hey, if he ain't here, it won't happen. Well, you're there. Oh, but not me. I can't. Guys, we got everything we need. You've got everything you need. Look at the next verse. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give you. You have promises. You have promises from the Lord. Walk in obedience, deny self, trust in Him with all your heart, love Him, serve Him, surrender to Him, hunger for Him, run after Him, go seeking, knocking, look up under everything, find Him. He's there. The promises are plentiful. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that I command you. Here it is. We don't have to say, well, I wonder what the will of the Lord is for my life. Guys, that's all I've been talking about for the last several weeks is the will of God for your life. And the will of God for your life this morning is not for you to sit there and waste it. God's will for your life is to get up. Moses is dead. Whoever you've been hiding behind, whatever excuse you've been making, whatever you've been doing, I'm going to be honest. Whatever busy thing you've been using and holding up and saying, hey, I'm busy. Busy for what? Busy for who? Busy for Him? Busy for the Lord? He's given us His Word. He's given us His Word. It says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. It is a cheat code. This is a cheat code. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Brother Shannon, nothing works. Are you doing it according to the word of the Lord? Are you doing it according to the kingdom rules? Are you out there trying to ping pong yourself around in disobedience? Are you just, Brother Shannon, I can't get ahead. Are you just wandering around in the wilderness because you will not surrender to His will in your life? Are you chasing worldly goals instead of His goals? You're not going to get ahead. You're always going to be miserable. You're never going to have enough. Somebody else will always be richer. Somebody else will always have more status. Somebody else will always have more rank. It will always, always, always be. But in every one of our lives, hey you, Moses is dead. The excuse is gone. I need you to rise up. I need you to rise up. And I need you to trust my promises, obey my word. And here's the thing, you're not by yourself doing it. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble, or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Y'all, the world is a tricky thing. The scheme is a conniving, dangerous game. You can be very successful and very popular, and very important, and even very necessary, and not be making any steps forward in the kingdom. And that's how, I know it may not seem it, that you can just hang out for year on year on year on year on end and be no more spiritually mature, no closer, no further along on the journey. Remember when you first got saved, all them verses you memorized? How many memorized since? Oh, well, I just can't. That's a simple test. Remember that hunger? Where'd the hunger go? Remember that burning, that I just want to know Him more, and I just want to know Him. Where did it go? You know where it went? It got all covered up by this world's illusion of, hey, this is what counts. No. The only thing that counts is what's been done for Him. That's all that counts. That's it. And that's how you honestly measure it. And here's the deal. I can't look at this group or this group, or that group. And you can't look at me and say, wow, he's way on down the road. That's between you and the Lord. That's a God thing. That's an internal God thing. You know you. Because guess what? You got me fooled right now. You got me fooled. Because guess what? I say you're all rock stars. You're all miles down the road. You're just growing in your walk. You are just hungering and you're walking in disobedience. That's what you look like. You're packing the house on a Sunday. Attaboy. Even selling the preacher don't. That don't matter. That don't matter. He sees. Moses is dead. It's your time. You're not running second chair. In your walk, you're not running second chair. You are front and center soldier, ambassador, representative, showing up to serve every single day you come conscious. Reporting for duty, sir. How many days have we just, Brother Shannon, I've never thought about that. That's okay. He forgives you. But now we know. How many more days you got? Don't know, do you? How many of you want to look at God and say, God, I'm just gonna take this one from me? Nobody wants to do that, do you? Guess what? Don't. Don't. That simple. Brother Shannon, fix me. Stop wasting your life. Brother Shannon, give me a cheat code. Help me out. Do what the book says. Stay in the Word. Don't turn from it from the left or to the right. Let it be your guide. Let the Spirit of God lead you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us. His promises is here. His Word is here. His presence is here. Everything you need, you got. Everything. Don't waste another day. 11 days in 38 years. Phew, that ain't good. Guys, if we're honest and we don't judge each other, we have to live with our own walk. I don't want to waste it. Father God, I usually say, I don't know who that was for, but that's for all of us. God, it's easy to wear a mask and play a game and sell it. And God, we spend a lot of energy selling it. God, we sell it and we gain success and we gain status and stature and rank and privilege and wow, look at us. It's intoxicating. It's enticing. It's a rush. I think Scripture literally tells us over in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities is what it is. It's all vanity. It's useless. Because if it's done in pursuit, Lord, it's, at the end of the day, to be honest, it's just idol worship, God. It's idol worship. And we know what your Word says about anything that draws us to worship idols or to destroy it. God, have mercy on us. So as we sit and as we wrestle with this encounter, not with a man on a stage on a Sunday in April, but God, with this encounter with the God who many, many, many years ago, or not many years ago, saved our souls. And the question and answer is not to a man, but it's just to you, Lord, how that journey has been. God, have mercy on us. Give us second chances. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Whether we always play second chair, whether we always just, we backtrack and always put somebody else in front of us when it comes to kingdom things, and whatever it is, Lord, forgive us. Give us another chance, God. Please. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.